Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight is again known as Holy Thursday or Maundy Thursday. Maundy's a bit unusual word. We don't really find it in any other context. The word Maundy, in fact, comes from Latin, the word mandatum, which means command or commandment. And it's on this night that we consider the command given by our Lord Jesus to the disciples and to us, his Christians. The first command that comes very quickly to mind on this Holy Maundy Thursday is the command the Lord Jesus has given in the sacrament of the altar, which we also call Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper. And indeed, with this gift, there is a command. Take, eat, he said. Drink of it, all of you, he said. Do this, he said. Our Lord commands that his Christians observe this sacrament. And therefore, what we have in the scriptures is not merely a historical record, although it is an event that happened in history, nor is it merely an example, like the washing of the disciples' feet, which we also heard this evening. No, this is something that Christ has intended for his church to continue. And for this reason, it has been repeated, even from the very earliest days of the church. And so we find that the Corinthian Christians, around 2 decades after our Lord's ascension, were still celebrating the Lord's Supper, although not as Christ had intended, we come to find out. The practice of celebrating the Lord's Supper took place on a weekly basis, on Sundays, and often even more frequently than that. Our Lutheran forefathers confessed that they celebrated this sacrament every Sunday, which they called the Lord's Day, and also on other festival days. And so it is also celebrated among us here at Our Savior to this very day. Sacrament is given as a command. It's not optional. It's essential. Christ wills that we observe this gift. And therefore, we, at his command, continue to celebrate the Lord's Supper, proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. And it is worth noting that because it comes at the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do not treat it carelessly or lightly. We are careful to examine ourselves, as the apostle said, lest we be found to receive it unworthily. But we should also note that this sacrament comes not only at a command, but also with a promise. As we heard in the gradual and in the tract tonight, our Lord has caused his wondrous works to be remembered by providing heavenly food for those who fear him. And what more heavenly food could there be than the very body and very blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine, given and shed for us Christians to eat and drink for the forgiveness of our sins? By giving us his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, our Lord proves himself to be gracious and merciful. And by this we are assured that he remembers his covenant forever. All of this is summed up in those most blessed words, "for you," which require all hearts to believe. Our Lord Jesus has given us this sacrament, commanded us to observe it, but also promised to bless us through it, in order that we would receive forgiveness of our sins and be strengthened in our faith. But our Lord not only strengthens our faith towards him through this meal, he also strengthens our love for one another. And this is what we prayed for in the collect this evening, when we prayed that by the sacrament, the fruits of Christ's redemption would continually be made manifest in us. And the fruits we bear are the fruits of good work, the fruits of love. Which brings us to the other command that our Lord Jesus Christ gave to the disciples and to us this night. And that is the command to love. To love one another as he has loved us. And therefore, it is proper on this Holy Thursday, this Maundy Thursday, to consider the nature of Christ's love for us and therefore also the nature of our love for one another as Christians. We do well tonight to think about how Jesus loved us and why Jesus loved us. And then to consider also how we are to love one another and why we are to love one another. And so we take up first Jesus' love and how he loved us. And he loved us, he loved the disciples by serving and by giving. We find elsewhere in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that on that very night of his betrayal, as they were preparing to eat the Passover, the disciples began to dispute with one another. They began to argue, as they had before, as to which of them was the greatest, who was to be regarded as master above all. But Jesus was quick to put a stop to that dispute, saying the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you, Jesus said. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who reclines at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. And then, because he loves not only in word, but in deed and in truth, Jesus took upon himself that task of a lowly slave. Rising from supper, he laid aside his outer garments. He took a towel and he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. This, he said, was done for them as an example, that as he has done, so they were to do. He served them, though he is their teacher and Lord. He also loved by giving. Lord Jesus Christ loved the disciples and us by giving his very body and his very blood for the forgiveness of our sins. He did so by offering that body and blood on the cross as the perfect sacrifice by which he won forgiveness for you. He also offers to you, even this night, that same body and blood in order that he might deliver salvation to you. Much like Moses in our Old Testament reading took the blood of the sacrifice and divided it, half he threw against the altar, and with half he sprinkled the people. So also our Lord Jesus Christ has used his blood shed on the cross not only to win forgiveness for you, but now to bestow forgiveness on you. He gave, and he loved, he served, even to the very end, to the finish. As he would declare the very next day, it is finished. Jesus gave everything for those men, and not just for those men that night, but for all mankind, for every one of you. He gave his very life for you. What more could he do for you? How much deeper could he serve you? How much greater could he give you? As he asked them, so we do well to consider. Do you understand what he has done for you? He's loved you to the very end. But we also consider tonight why Jesus loved. Why did Jesus love the disciples? Why has he loved us? And John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells us exactly why. Because all things had been given to him by the Father, and because he had come from God and was going back to God. At the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus testified, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands." And at the end of the ministry, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Not only as the only begotten Son of God, eternal, but also as true man, born in time, Jesus possesses all things, knows all things, can do all things. Even while in his state of humiliation, in lowliness, in the form of a servant, Jesus still possessed the full measure of divine power and wisdom. And what did Jesus do with all that had been given to him in his humanity? He saved you. All that had been given to him was what he needed in order to deliver you from sin, death, and the devil. Jesus loved to the end, loved with everything he was and is and shall be, because all things had been given to him. And because he had come from the Father and was going to the Father. He is, as we confessed, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made. He also knew very well what was approaching him in the next hour. Betrayal, arrest, false accusations, scourging, mocking, beating, thorns, nails, the cross. But he also knew what would follow that. The empty tomb, the ascension, the right hand of the Father. Because he knew he had come from the Father and was going to the Father, Jesus could love, he did love with everything, even to the very end, because he knew that his end was quite secure in the Father's hands. Again, Jesus loved by serving and giving to those who had been given to him, the disciples, and to you, knowing that he had been given all things from God and was going back to God. Which brings us back to his command to us. You love as I have loved you. As our Lord has loved us, so we are to love, both in how we love, but also in why we love. Why do we Christians love? For the same reasons that Jesus loved. Because we also have come from God and are going back to God. Indeed, we are God's own people, created anew in the waters of holy baptism. Through these, as through means, he has claimed us to be his own and given us a new birth and a washing of the Holy Spirit by the holy water of baptism, water made holy by the word. We have a share in Christ. Just like the Israelites long ago were sprinkled, we have been sprinkled, but with baptismal water, which cleanses not just our flesh from outward impurities, but even our very hearts from an evil conscience. And as Christ testifies, we who have been cleansed by Christ have a part with him. But not only have we been born of God, we also have a heavenly home awaiting us with God. So Jesus would testify later that night, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Our citizenship, dear Christians, is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We love, first, because we have come from God, having become new creations in Christ Jesus, created new in baptism, renewed daily by his word. And we know that we know where we are headed, going back to God, having the certain hope of heaven. Furthermore, as his own dear children, we can be certain that the Father has given all things to us. Now, certainly we know that he daily and richly provides us with all that we need to support this body and life, doing so even without our prayers. But he has even greater gifts to bestow upon us than those that have to do with the support and needs of the body. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If God did not spare his own Son, but graciously gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him give us all things? And so the Apostle Paul will even testify that all things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God. See God's boundless love for you. He doesn't give you earthly treasures that moth and rust can destroy, that thieves can break in and steal. He doesn't give you gold, silver, precious jewels, or anything like that. He gives you something far more precious, far more valuable, far more beloved. Himself. Himself to death on the cross to win forgiveness for you. His holy body and precious blood in the sacrament to deliver forgiveness to you. We love because God has first loved us, and out of that love he has given us all things. So knowing why we love, now we can consider how we are to love as Christians. And once again, that is in the same way that Jesus has loved us, by serving one another. A servant is not greater than his master. If Jesus, our teacher and Lord, has served us, we should do the same for one another. And so in humility, we are to count others as more significant than ourselves. We are to look not only to our own interests, but to the interests of those around us. We are to care more deeply about the needs of the people sitting next to us in the pew, and the people next to us in our homes and in our neighborhoods, than we are about our own needs. We are to give from ourselves to care for them. And indeed, that is how we love, as Christ has loved us, by giving generously, even sacrificially, to one another. Certainly that comes from our possessions and income, taking what God has graciously given to us and using it to support the needs of others, confident that he will continue to provide. But it goes beyond our possessions too. We have to give of our time. It is take time to do what is difficult, to do what isn't easy. Take time even for our enemies, to love them, to listen to them, to care for them, to rebuke them, to forgive them. We're to take time and give that. We are also to take even our very selves and give those talents, the abilities, the gifts God has given to us in our very bodies, and use those to serve and love one another. Consider how God has blessed you in your body and life, and consider how those very gifts can be used to help the people around you. Again, here in this very place, in your home, your workplace, your neighborhoods. We love because he first loved us. We love as he has first loved us. On that Maundy Thursday, nearly 2,000 years ago, our Lord Jesus Christ gave his disciples then and now a command. Love as I have loved you. And truly he has done that. Truly he has loved you. Truly he has given himself for you. To love as he has loved is not possible for us in our human weakness. But to strengthen you to love, he has given you this command also. Take, eat, drink of it, all of you. Do this in remembrance of me. A commandment that comes with a promise, that by this blessed sacrament, through the eating and drinking in faith of his very body and blood under the bread and wine, you receive the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith and the strengthening of your love, to carry out the command to love as he has loved you. Jesus loved you even to the end, because he has been given all things from the Father, because he came from God and is going back to God. For his sake alone, you can confidently claim the same, that God has graciously given you all things, that you, in the waters of holy baptism, have been born of God. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection for you, in the end, you too will go back to God to behold him face to face, to dwell with him forever, to eat and drink at the feast that has no end. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.